Labor Day, 1984. They are 15 now, about to be sophomores in high school. Fiona left home by herself for the first time over the summer to a culinary camp in Indianapolis. But Thatcher knows she's also interested in the things other 15-year-old girls are interested in. She spends whole days sunning herself on the roof of her house. She has rigged the telephone so that the cord reaches her perch. Sometimes, if the wind is right, Thatcher can hear her from his front porch four doors down. Fiona, deep in conversation with her friend Allison. Thatcher has spent the summer working at his father's carpet store, mostly moving the big-ass Persian rugs off the trucks into the showroom. As his father says, the Persians sell like winter coats on the day hell freezes over, and so there are always rugs to move. His father also has him steam cleaning the 2x3-foot samples of wall-to-wall, deep pile, and shag, because nothing ruins sales like a dirty sample. Thatcher moves Persians and steam cleans samples and makes coffee and runs errands and stands around smiling so that his father can drape an arm over Thatcher's shoulder and say to his customers, "This is my youngest son, Thatcher. Big help to his old man." Thatcher hates carpet, hates wood flooring and linoleum and tile, and he really hates Persian rugs. His brothers hate it, too. His two oldest brothers, Monroe and Cal, work as lifeguards at the community swim club, and his brother Hudson, just 2 years older, is a musical genius, drums, and has spent all summer at a music camp in Michigan. For Thatcher, Labor Day comes as a huge relief. School starts the next morning. It's Phil St. Clair's idea to sneak out that night and meet at the playground of the elementary school. And it's Thatcher's idea to invite Fiona and convince his brother Monroe, now a junior at IUSB and still living at home, to buy them a 6-pack of beer. Thatcher calls Fiona from the carpet store. He pictures her sitting on the roof in her powder-blue bikini. She's all for the plan. Thatcher's next call is to Jimmy Sosnowski, who suggests Thatcher ask for 2 6-packs. He does. Monroe extorts a price of $30, which Thatcher pays from his savings of the summer, and at 10 o'clock that night, Thatcher walks out the front door of his house with 12 beers in his backpack. Thatcher wishes it could have been more like sneaking, but his father isn't home yet, and when he does get home, he won't check on Thatcher. He never does. Phil is already at the playground when Thatcher arrives. Phil sits on one of the swings. His whisper cuts through the darkness. "Hey, did you get it?" "Yeah." Thatcher shifts the backpack. There's a promising clink. "Jimmy can't get out," Phil says. "His parents are having a barbecue and they're staying up late." "That sucks." "Truly," Phil says. "Give me a beer." Thatcher's experience with beer is limited, and he panics because he hasn't thought to bring an opener. But the beer Monroe brought, Budweiser, are twist-offs. Thatcher gives one to Phil, then opens one for himself and drinks. The beer is lukewarm. After Monroe brought it home, Thatcher hid it from his other brothers in the closet. But it tastes good anyway. It tastes adult. "Sophomores tomorrow," he says. Fiona's voice catches him so by surprise that he chokes on his second swallow, sending a spray of beer down the front of his shirt. "Hey, you guys," she says. She laughs at Thatch. "Amateurs." She plucks a Budweiser from Thatcher's backpack, flips the top off, and chugs half the bottle. Thatcher is impressed. Phil just shakes his head. "Fiona, what are you doing here?" "Thatch invited me." Phil glares at Thatcher. Thatcher shrugs. Fiona says, "Get over it." "It was supposed to be a guy thing," Phil says. We didn't decide on that, Thatcher says. We didn't decide on it, but... I mean, when you're sneaking out to drink beer the night before school starts, that's a guy thing. Fiona expertly polishes off the rest of her beer and belches. Excuse me? Do you want another one? Thatcher asks. In a minute. She climbs to the top of the slide and comes flying down. She's wearing some kind of one-piece terry cloth sunsuit. Next to Thatcher, Phil huffs. Dude, relax, Thatcher says. She's lots of fun. Whatever, Phil says. He stands up from the swing and sets his nearly full beer down on the asphalt. I'm going home. This beer isn't even cold. Come on, Thatcher says. Don't be a dope. You're the dope, Phil says, nodding his head toward Fiona. I'll see you tomorrow. He strolls away. Fiona climbs back up to the top of the slide. Where's he going? She says. Home. Fiona coughs. Thatcher holds his breath. He hates it when she coughs. He drinks down his beer. Then he's overcome with a loose, tingly feeling. He's happy that Phil's gone. I'm coming up after you, he says. Do what you want. He climbs the ladder of the slide, hands over feet. When he's almost at the top, Fiona slides down and runs back to the ladder. Thatcher slides down. By the time he's made it to the bottom of the slide, she's at the top of the ladder. They chase each other like this for a while. Fiona's breath is labored. Thatcher can hear it, and he slows down on purpose. Then he climbs the ladder, and she doesn't slide down. She sits at the top, and he sidles in next to her. It's cramped. Their thighs are touching, but Fiona doesn't move. Go ahead, she says. You go ahead. I don't want to go ahead. Me either. Fiona turns her face, carefully, it seems, to look at him. Is she thinking what he's thinking? The beer emboldens him. He leans in to kiss her. She puts her palm on his face and pushes him away. Don't you dare! Why not? Because I can't have you falling in love with me. I won't fall in love with you. You will so, Fiona says. And I don't want to break your heart. This, he realizes, is what she and Allison spend all day talking about. Falling in love, breaking hearts. You're nuts, he says. I'm going to die, she says. He sits with this for a second. Even when he first learned about her illness, it was never phrased this way. No one has ever said anything about dying. We're all going to die, he says. Yes, she says. But I'm going to die first. And then, with a great big breath, she pushes off and swoops down the slide. She disappears into the dark.